Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back with you one more time. This is Ask Greg. It's the most wonderful time of this Christmas Day edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show.
I was just informed that I missed you doing a Mike Gundy impression. I'm pretty bummed about that. Just be careful on Dabo. There's some people that didn't really appreciate that impression from a few weeks ago.
I don't know if it was the impression as much as me calling him a schmuck.
Oh.
Now, I'll make this case publicly. Somebody can be more accomplished than you and still be a schmuck.
Yeah.
Like if you're, and I get the dynamic. The complaint was, I haven't done anything that remotely resembles Dabo Swinney.
Well, did you go to the national title game, win it, and then say that your billion-dollar program is just little old Clemson? Have you done that, Dustin?
I mean, that's exactly the nature of this conversation.
Yeah. That was kind of the whole point of it.
I haven't achieved on a professional level what Dabo Swinney has achieved. But
you don't consider the college football playoff of radio shows?
I mean, I do.
Okay.
In my head, I do.
That's all that matters.
Now, but I've also never gone in front of a bunch of TV cameras and said a bunch of bull crap that was inherently false because I'm not answering the question. I'm talking to recruits. I'm talking to my players.
Well, next time you're
use a different platform. Go into your locker room and tell them that.
Well, next time you're on with Todd, you can maybe do that. Maybe talk to recruits and now you can check that off your bucket list.
I might not ever get that opportunity again after the last time, but we'll see. Anyway, the Mike Gundy impression, you didn't miss a whole lot. I mean, I did the I'm a man, I'm 40, and you know, I talked about digging up that hole. The whole run up to that, you're going after a kid for doing everything right. I don't know.
Probably people in other parts of the studio wondering what's going on in there.
Let's get to the questions. Nobody's going to ask me to do impressions ever again. That's not a question. Let's get to Bill from Philadelphia for starters. If you were Franklin, what would be your number one characteristic that you would want in the next offensive coordinator? Seemed like loyalty and stability separated Ronnie during the last search, but the elite programs aren't afraid to go after a one-year rental if they are good enough. I think all of this is fair and valid.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting way of framing the discussion and framing the search itself.
Yeah. No arguments to be made by me. I mean, I think that when I look at the thing James Franklin should be looking for, it really comes down to two things. You need somebody who can be the head coach of the offense, and you need somebody who can mesh with the guys who are already on staff. Because let's be honest, I mean, you need someone that can come in and not want to bring in a whole new offensive system. You want someone that can come in and adapt to what you're already doing, and preferably, you know, have a system that is similar to what you're doing at this point in time. So to me, I think that's what they are looking for, and they need someone like that. And James Franklin will be patient until he can find someone like that.
Well, and this kind of some of the other talking points from that question spill over into this question from Brian from Miami. What is Dabo's secret at Clemson besides being a schmuck? I never really talk bad about people, but his shtick annoyed me that day. Anyway, you never heard assistant coaches or coordinators leaving Clemson. Even Alabama and Ohio State have to deal every year with this issue. Are they just better paid? And so that's another offshoot of the conversation, is that what you're paying, what you're offering, you know, it's going to attract a certain pool of candidates. And I'm not sure if Penn State's pay attracts the same candidates, but in terms of continuity, I don't know. I mean, what goes into one coaching staff at a high level program having more continuity on their staff than others? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I think Penn State now has enough money to go out and find some of the more expensive coaches in the country, and not just find them, but also pay enough money to land them. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. But, you know, the question with stability is what is your staff made up of? Are they guys who want to eventually be head coaches? Are they guys who eventually want to be coordinators? Do they feel like they have that opportunity at your school? I mean, look, I think James Franklin's been very fortunate to keep this defensive staff together for as long as it has. I mean, they did lose, help me out here. Who was the safeties coach they lost?
Who?
Penn State, before Tim Banks. Oh, no. Well, they lost Bob Shoup, obviously. That's who I'm thinking of. And then Banks was brought in and to fill
Charles
that role.
Huff as well.
And So, but they've been able to keep this staff pretty well together. And I think that's rare. And I think sometimes you'll get guys like Ricky Ronnie who say they don't want to be head coaches and then all of a sudden change their mind. And, you know, you can live with that. You just don't want to lose guys to lateral moves. I think they're paying their coaches enough now to not have to worry about that. I don't foresee another Josh Gattis, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. The one thing I think that's interesting, you know, as part of this dialogue is that what opportunities are your assistant coaches waiting for? Your offensive coordinator wants, you know, is going to jump at the head job at Old Dominion. Okay, that's great. It's still a move up. It's still a chance to run your own program. I'm not trying to downgrade that at all, but what's Clemson's all? What are their coordinators waiting for? You've seen them looking for SEC jobs and Power Five jobs, and I think sometimes if that's the ambition for your coordinator, they're going to hang in there a little bit longer until the right job comes along. If they're in demand and they know they're in high demand, they have the ability to wait. And I think pay kind of factors into that. If they're in demand and there are coaches that, you know, there are schools of good programs knocking on your door constantly, you're going to probably have to pay a little bit more, but at the same time, it's also in the coach's interest to hang around until the cycle spits out the job that they might really want.
Agreed. Yep. That's just the way it works with the never ending coaches carousel in 2019.
And for whatever reason, you know, Nick Saban's assistants, these opportunities have come faster and more fear. I think Nick Saban is held in such high regard. And if you're able to kind of cut it on his staff, you should be, you know, have an inside step towards being a program builder and all that kind of stuff. This question is from John from Raleigh, North Carolina. And by the way, questions that come in, use the Keystone Sports app. I usually mention this, but there's an Ask Greg button. All you got to do is fill out a couple fields, click that button, and your question will be asked. We'll probably get to it. And the winning question each and every week is going to get a Keystone Sports Network polo shirt. So incentive enough to fire these off. This is John from Raleigh. Any insight of anyone in the transfer portal could help Penn State out in 2020? Do you know if anyone in the portal is on Penn State's radar? And I think we will not speculate about individual names, but maybe more so the philosophy of Penn State participating in the portal as in actively seeking out replacements from guys who are there.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, I don't think they can spend that much time looking at the portal, Dustin, because they don't know. I mean, they're already over their scholarship count, right? They're at 92 for my count. They can only have 85. So, I mean, we know a couple guys are going to leave, and we know the numbers always work themselves out. But until guys actually do leave, I think it'd be very hard for them to say, yeah, we're going to go get some guys out of the transfer portal, because, you know, they just don't know yet how much room they actually are going to have. And there's nothing worse than saying, hey, kid, we want you to come play for us, and then not being able to do that because you're actually out of space. So they'll be patient on that front. Will they look for somebody? Sure, I could see that. You know, the one area I think I'd be most interested to watch is punter. And I know that's not exciting, and I know that's not going to really rev people up, but Joe Lohrig made a great move to go out and get Jordan Stout away from Virginia Tech. And while he could be the punter to replace Blake Gilligan, Dustin, is there somebody else out there in a similar situation, a very good specialist who can't get a scholarship? And if Penn State happens to have one open up, will they use it to try and get a Blake Gilligan level of performance at that position?
It's an interesting, you know, that is a position that you take for granted until you don't have one, right? So right. Penn State will be hunting for a punter. They'll have a new punter in some way, shape, or form for next season. So we'll see where it comes from. This question is from Craig from Erie, PA. With all the talk of a crowded Penn State running room, is it possible that Keziah Holmes could be the guy destined for the KJ Hamler slot role? I've heard a lot about the possibility of Ricky Slade making that move, but it would seem Holmes' skill set would fit that Percy Harvin lineup anywhere role. The bottom line is probably that role needs to be filled. The question is Penn State interested in – have they set a precedent where they're going to move a running back to be a pure
right
receiver?
Yeah,
I don't think they really have.
No, I don't think so. I mean, but Holmes is sort of more of the athlete type of recruit, I think, than a true running back. I'm sure Jaywon Sider's going to fight to keep him in that room, but I agree with the question. He does make the most sense if they are going to move a running back out there. He would be the one that makes that adds up. They could slide Jahan Dotson inside too. Then that could, you know, that would leave another spot on the field open, but it wouldn't be – gamblers, because I think Dotson could slide into that role too.
Parker Washington. I'm gonna say, I don't know if it's 2020, but I think it's point, it's, yeah. it's sooner than later where he's gonna really make an impact in that position, because it's hard to find a guy who's had his production. It's also hard to find a guy who is ready for the pounding that generally comes with being used in a prototypical slot fashion.
Right.
You're doing a lot of work over the middle. You're doing a lot of run after catch. That's what you're being asked to do. And when you're being asked to operate in that space, you're staring down linebackers and safeties frequently. You're not making all the glory catches down the field where you're being guarded by a cornerback and tackled by a cornerback. So I think the fact that he's 5'10", 200 puts him in that conversation a lot sooner than later. I'll be happy to be wrong, but I'm going to keep putting it on the record. You know, kind of like,
it's always here to go look for it if you need to look for it again. But if not,
my challenge to you will be go dig through our archives. Yep. You find it. You spend the hours finding it. I'm not going to do that. Just like I'm not going to go back in time and dig up the fact that Andy Shea thought Andre Robinson would be a better running back than Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to bring up the fact that Ross Tucker had Saquon Barkley down at, 4 or 6 on his list of recruits in that recruiting class. I'm not talking nationally. I'm talking Penn State's recruiting class. I'm better than this. I'm not going to go down that road. And I don't expect you to do that either with me, because I'm not going to do it to you, Andy or Ross. Anyway, one more question. Our friend Dirt Frank from Warminster. A couple schedule questions. Why did Penn State agree to play Virginia Tech one time and away next year? Why does the Big Ten have Penn State play Michigan and Ohio State back-to-back in 2021 and 2022? Does the Big Ten like having their best teams miss the playoff every other year? What were they thinking opening up with Wisconsin in 2021 and playing Auburn third week?
Well, so they don't have a choice over that. The Big Ten probably – I believe that's Labor Day weekend, that Wisconsin game, so they probably moved – that matchup there for viewers.
I don't know what tomorrow is, Greg. Well, that's, 2021 weekend.
I mean, as for the home and home with Virginia Tech, I think that, you know, that's one of the things you have to agree to. In this day and age to get good Power 5 teams on your home schedule. So we're still waiting on Penn State to figure out or get paid by Virginia. Remember that game they're supposed to play against Virginia that was never played?
Yeah.
It was like 2012. That was canceled. We're still awaiting the resolution of that. So I guess we'll see how that all.
You know what I'd love to see, by the way? Penn State, Virginia Tech at FedEx Field in Washington.
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, yeah. James Franklin was talking about that the other day. I would not rule it out.
Or some other version of that. All right, who had the best question this week?
Yeah, let's go with the portal one. The guy asked where the scholarship numbers are. I believe he was from Raleigh, North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm going through my documents here.
Yeah,
John from Raleigh. John from Raleigh. Got it. You know, it'll be an interesting talking point as we get out of the Cotton Bowl and move forward. Whether Penn State loses guys, picks up guys in the portal, you know there's going to be activity. It's just a matter of whether Penn State is going to be active in that activity.
Yeah, right. All right.
That's Ask Greg. Congratulations to John from Raleigh for having the best question. Submit yours through the Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app. We still got one more segment to go. Penn State basketball. We're catching up with Jeff Brown right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron. All in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.